Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis Theoji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
We're going to be taking time to explain things to us so that we can understand. Are we here together? Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. Please follow all the scriptures. I'll read them as fast as possible. Isaiah chapter 9. Now, this is Isaiah writing something over 500 years before Jesus Christ would be born. Are we here together? Isaiah is writing now 500 years ahead. Like, just imagine the prophecy is coming now. And that thing will happen 500 years later. That means Isaiah's grandfather, Jesus Christ's grandfather, great-grandfather did not even meet Isaiah. And now Isaiah is prophesying. An angel appeared to, you know, the Spirit of God spoke to Isaiah rather and gave him a prophetic word. And see what Isaiah began to say. Look at now. Let's read it together. I want to go. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now hold on. Go back a little bit now. How would a child be called? I agree if it's going to be called a counselor over time. Are we here together? I agree it will be called Wonderful. But how will this child, it's talking about a child, how would you call a child Mighty God? Are you getting what I'm saying here right now? This is Old Testament. How would you look at and say a child will be born? Many years, I don't know. Isaiah was saying, I don't even know. But I know that unto us a child will be born, a son will be given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. That means he will be the leader. And he says his name will be called Wonderful. We agree. We can understand that. Counselor. Okay, we understand that. Mighty God. A child. That means flesh. The word of God will become flesh, and that flesh will be called what? Mighty God. Everlasting Father. That's what you attribute to only God. Everlasting Father. That means the Father that will reign forever and ever and ever without end. How would a child be called Father? Think about it. Even if something was moving Isaiah to just say whatever he liked, how would he have said this? And he said he would be called the Prince of what? Peace. Then the next verse now, he says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom. Wait. How will a mighty God will sit upon the throne of David? Are we here together? Everlasting Father will sit upon the throne of David. In other words, we agree again that it will be a human being. A human being's throne that he will sit upon. That means, the Bible says, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. Then he gave a clear word. He said, this thing will not happen by flesh and blood. That a virgin will be with a child. It's no surprise if Joseph and the other guys had read their scrolls the way they should have read the scroll and they understood, they wouldn't have been surprised. Because this is it. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. That means the Spirit of God will make it happen. So to say that a virgin was with a child should not be a surprise, because he already prophesied over 500 years. But it's possible that they were not paying attention to that scripture, or they've been waiting and expecting a Messiah and no one has showed up. So they didn't expect that this one would be the Messiah. Are we here together? Yes. Another time again to confirm this, his disciples called him God. The disciples of Jesus called him God. Look at John chapter 20 verse 28. John chapter 20 verse 28. I just want to prove to you something about Jesus and the fact that he is God. John chapter 20 verse 28. Please pay attention. Please put it on the screen. John 20 28. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Now listen, this is Thomas that have been with him all the while. The disciples have been with Jesus Christ. They've been eating and drinking and all that. They've been going around town. It means that they were with him and they knew that this person is not an ordinary person. So Thomas saw Jesus Christ after Jesus was raised from the dead and appeared to them. And the first thing that came out of Thomas' mouth, he said, my Lord and my God. And when Thomas said, my Lord and my God, Jesus did not say, stop that. You can't call me God. I'm a fellow servant like you. Because every time an angel appears and you say that, the angel will say, oh, stop that. If it's a prophet, the prophet will say, oh, I'm one of the prophets just like you. I'm a messenger like you. But Jesus didn't say that. Now, that goes to tell you that what Thomas said is actually true and Jesus accepted it. After his resurrection, Jesus is directly called God by Thomas. In Titus chapter 2 verse 3, please follow me. I'm doing an expose. I have a few minutes and I'll do it fast. Titus chapter 2 verse 13. Titus chapter 2 verse 13. Let's do it very fast. Put it on the screen. It said, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing. Now, this is the disciple writing. The people who had stayed with Jesus, the way they referred to him. He said, for looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not saying our great God, that our great God is different. No. The conjunction here is trying to explain the fact that our great God is Savior Jesus Christ. So the disciples writing about him said it that way. That this God, this boy that is born, a little boy, grow up now, he is God. In Hebrews chapter 1 verse 8 also, we see God refer to Jesus as God. Speaking through David, God referring to Jesus as God. Look at it now. He said, but to the Son, he says, your throne, O God. Can you see that? To the Son. Now, this is God speaking. This is a prophetic psalm. David mentioned it then. Paul here, writing in the book of Hebrews 1:8. He said, but to the Son, he says. He's speaking to the Son. He says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. This is God speaking to Jesus, saying, your throne, O God. Wow. Is anybody getting what I'm saying today? Are you getting this gist tonight? Is it making some sense to you now? So the Father calls the Son God in that verse, referring to himself, referring to Jesus, and saying, your throne, O God. Can you see it now? But to the Son, he says, he's speaking to the Son, and he tells the Son, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. This is showing somebody here, you need to take note of this, because somebody will ask you tomorrow when you go out, you're celebrating Christmas, you're a Christian, you go to church, you people say Jesus is God. How? How can Jesus be God? And you say, Jesus is God now. Jesus is God now. It is a level of ignorance at the highest order that will put you like that. And you can't say anything. It doesn't make sense. We must raise believers that are sound. One of the reasons why we have, of course, when I get there, I'll quickly say that. I'll say that we have lost the tradition of understanding what Christmas is about is because we do not teach. When we come for meetings like this, we just want to sing and dance and go home. And many times people are beginning to lose understanding of what Christmas is about. Many children out there, especially in the Western world, they don't even connect Christmas to Jesus any longer. We are doing a better work here in Africa. They don't connect Christmas to Jesus. They connect Christmas to Santa Claus. That's the connection. And before you know it, they start saying things like, oh, happy holidays. This one is not just holidays. This is Merry Christmas. It's not Xmas. It is Christmas. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because it is Christ, the Lord of the mass, the Lord of the people. Are you getting what I'm saying, church? We must be able to uphold the truth. We must know what we're standing for. We must know what we're celebrating. We must know what we're holding on to. Or else the world will give us something else. So Jesus is God's word made flesh. Now, have you ever heard somebody say something like, I'm giving you my word? Have you heard someone say something like that? I give you my word. I give you my word. And whenever somebody says that, what are they trying to say? What are you trying to say? I want somebody to say it loud. I'm trying to show you something now. When somebody says, I give you my word. No, somebody just say something. What? A promise. I'm giving you a promise. Okay, somebody else. That you can count on me. Uh-huh. It's giving you an assurance. Okay. A level of trying to say, trust me. I'm giving you my word. Trust me. So, Jesus is God saying, trust me. Are you getting it? Are you getting it? Are you getting it? God saying what? Trust me. Because Jesus is the word of God. Then he's saying, I'm giving you my word. In other words, you can count on me. That whosoever believes will not perish. You can count on me. You can count on me that whoever believes will be saved. You can count on me. Every time we see Jesus on the face of the earth, we are seeing God saying, trust me. We're seeing God saying, you can hold on to my word. Is anybody getting what I'm saying tonight? Yes. So when he says, I'm giving you my word, you're making a solemn promise or a commitment that you're saying that this thing is true. It signifies integrity, reliability, assurance that your word is binding and is a signed contract. Jesus appearing on the face of the earth is a ratification of the covenant of life between God and man. That he showed up means that man will not perish. That he showed up alive means that we have hope in him. Are we here together? Glory to God. Yes. In John chapter 1, what we just read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh, and the Word, God's trust, God's bond, God's assurance, God's integrity living amongst men. So if God says, I have given you my Word. Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was not form and void, darkness upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was moving around the face of water. And God said, let there be what? Light. Now, you, if you tell somebody you have given them your word, do you have to go there? But whatever you said has gone ahead. Now, when you say it and they move out of this place to another place, can they count on your word? The person you have sent, can the person count on your word to say that he said this? Can someone do that? Because you have given your word. The same way Jesus coming to the face of the earth is saying, I am making a statement. I am what God has said. I am the word of God. I am the living word. Are we here together, church? Is anyone getting what I'm saying here now? Yes. So Jesus is the word of God. Jesus is God in flesh. He chose to take on a lowly nature. He chose to take on the body of a sinner, a body of sinful men. He chose to take on the body of sinful men so that he will save men from their sins. Very intentional. It wasn't like a mistake. It was something that God already planned. Who will save man? There's nobody else that will save man because every man is flawed. Every man has the Adamic nature. And God thought that the only way to save man is that I will send my word. I will give my word opportunity to become flesh. So when God said through the angel that a virgin will be with a child, and he said the power of the highest will overshadow you. Remember, the word is spirit. The word is what? Spirit. It was that spirit that found expression in the womb of Mary. It was not like God impregnated Mary, because God will not go through the act of committing sexual. God will not commit sexual act. Are we get what I'm saying now? So God did not really impregnate Mary. God's seed was deposited in Mary. Just like you can see in today's world where people do artificial insemination. When they get the sperm head, the person doesn't have to impregnate the woman, but they can use the seed of that man to get a child from that woman. So God used his seed to get a child for us, because he said the seed of the woman. He would have said the seed of the man. You know why he didn't say the seed of the man? They will mistake it for Joseph. If he said the seed of the man, they would have mistaken that, it is Joseph. But women don't have seed normally, true or false? Women are supposed to just be a source to get the child come grow. Is that not incubate the child, nurture the child? But look at what the Bible says. He said the seed of the woman. The Bible is not a mistake. It's not a fluke. God saw it already from the beginning. Instead of saying the seed of the man, he said the seed of the woman. In other words, Jesus is not just the seed of man. He's the seed of the woman. Because only Mary will be able to stand. Joseph was just going to stand by the side as a figure from that lineage. But Mary would be the one who's carrying a seed that Joseph did not put inside. Who put the seed inside? God. Are we here together? Is anybody getting the gist tonight? So when God gave his word, he fulfilled promise that he had made centuries ago. Isaiah said it in Isaiah 7:14. Micah said it in Micah chapter 5 verse 2. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And God eventually did that. So whenever God says that I have given my word, he's saying that it does not change. My word is life. It can save you. My word can deliver you. My word can change you. And Jesus is the word of God. Number two, the virgin birth of Jesus. It's a debate in certain quarters that they refuse to agree that a virgin cannot have a child. But Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 26 shows the story of how, you know, the angel appeared to Mary and told her about the promise, and now she has a child. Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. after his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Spirit. Are we seeing that now? Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Why? But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel appeared and said in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. In other words, they were not yet married. They had betrothal. They had done an agreement. They had done an introduction. They had said that this person will get married to you. And that's why scripture is very clear. Do not be afraid to take, because Mary was not yet living in Joseph's house. That's what it means here. And he said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is the what? Is of the Holy Spirit. How many of us are aware that now, what I'm saying now is it's not like justifying the fact that the book has any accuracy or correctness, but I'm just trying to say that one of the religions of the world that has that has closeness to Christianity, Islam, confirms that a virgin gave birth to a child. The virgin birth is clear from there, even in Islam. How many of us are aware of that? How many of us are aware of that? Oh, very clear. The religion has said, you know why? Islam was, the Quran was written about 500 years thereabout after the Bible had been written complete. The Bible had been complete already. About 500 years later, they're writing the Quran. Are we getting what I'm saying here now? So you discover that at the end of the day, he's picking from whatever it is he has seen or he had known, and is agreeing that a virgin will be with a child. So it's not a question of debate, as it were, that day for them in that circle. Now, like I'm saying, I'm not trying to say that the book itself is correct, because the book itself refers people to the Bible. That is, if you cannot find your answers here, go and ask the people of the way. And the Christians are the people of what? Of the way. Are we here together? Are you sure you're getting what I'm saying this morning? This evening, rather. So in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Christ came into the world to save sinners. It is there. It is clear. It is clear. It is clear. And he was born by a virgin. Jesus was born by the Virgin Mary, by the power of God. You know, the virgin birth of Jesus confirms the fact that his origin is divine. His origin is sinless. That means there was no connection between a man and a woman to give birth to Jesus. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here or no? So you need to know who you're serving. You need to know what you represent. So when somebody asks you about the virgin birth, you can show them Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 25, Luke chapter 1, 26 to 38, and let them know that indeed a virgin had a child. And if a virgin conceives a child, that means the seed in the womb of that virgin is not really of any man, but is of who? God, as the scripture has said. Another doctrine worthy of note here for time's sake is the purpose of his coming. Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come? He said, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. So Jesus came to do what? Jesus came to do what? Jesus came to do what? He came to save us from our word. So is he expecting us to continue living anyhow? No. Because that's what he came to do. That's what he came to do. Jesus came not just to be born, but to die and provide salvation. His birth marks the beginning of the fulfillment of the prophecy. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, without controversy. I love that scripture. It says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into where? Glory. Now look at this. Look at this. Everybody look here now. Look here now. Are you seeing this? Without controversy, that means there's no argument around these things. Nobody should try to argue it. Great is the mystery of what? Godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. That's the first thing I told you now. God took on flesh. Number two, justified in the spirit. Declared. God was declared to be free and acquitted of everything in the spirit. Now, he was seen by angels. You know what this means? What does this mean? What does this mean? He was seen by angels. Who were the first people that the shepherds, the angels went to meet? Shepherds. Is that not? Why did the angels rush to go meet the shepherds? The angels were excited. The angels were what? You know why they were excited? Up until that time, angels have never seen God in the flesh. Angels have never seen Jesus. Because in heaven, Jesus was just the Word of God. And to say that Jesus was the Word of God in heaven, it means that he was spirit, so they could not even see him. They've been hearing the voice. They hear the Word of God. They hear the voice of God in the whole of heavens. But they've never seen the voice of God. They've never seen the voice in the flesh. Adam said in the garden, I heard your voice walking. So in heaven, the voice had been walking, but they've never seen it in any physical form. So for the first time, the voice of God, the Word of God was born, and they quickly rushed down and they said, hey, shepherds, go and see something. To us, this is a mystery. We've never seen this before. We've never seen it. We have heard of the Word of God. We have heard the voice of God walking in heaven. But for the first time, human beings have set their eyes on God made flesh. The angels were amazed. They were surprised, like, wow. So even when the angels came to see, they were like, wow, God. Like looking at the baby and say, oh my God. Do you understand that? They're looking, they're amazed, they're surprised, like, wow, this is serious. This is serious. They've never seen God before in the flesh. They've been hearing about the voice of God in heaven. They've been walking with God all their lives, but they've never seen God. They will hear loud thunder. They will see lightnings. They will hear the movement, the glory, the smoke, all the things in heaven. But not for once did any of the angels see God. The first time angels will see God, men actually saw God first. You don't understand this. What a privilege. Men saw God first. Men beheld God. We beheld of his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. Glory to God. Glory to God. And let me just touch on this so that I can wrap up here, somewhere around here. Now get this. The celebration of Christ is not just the celebration of his birth. We need to talk about the lordship of Jesus. Jesus is not just Savior. He is also King and Lord. Christmas celebrates his kingship and rightful place as ruler in our lives. So in this season of Christmas, we're not just celebrating a baby that is born. We also remember that that baby is our Lord and our word, Savior. How many of us understand that demons believe? They believe in God. The Bible says they believe and they tremble. Are we here together? Do you also agree that there are some religions, for instance, let me use Islam again for example. Every Muslim cannot be a Muslim fully until the person believes in Jesus. Do you understand that? A Muslim cannot be, I can't ask any Muslim, they cannot really be Muslim until they believe in Jesus. But the Jesus they believe is Jesus the prophet. They don't believe him as Lord and Savior. They believe that he's a prophet. They agree. They agree that he's a prophet. Peace be unto him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They say that. Jesus, peace be unto him. They believe that he's a prophet. But they don't believe him that he died. They refuse to agree that he is God. And that's why a Christian cannot say we are serving the same God. We don't serve the same God. I want to reinforce it. We don't serve the same God. Let it sink into your heart. The reason many of us don't preach to many people around us is because you assume that we serve the same God. We don't. The God of the Bible was born as a little baby, God carrying flesh. He grew up at the age of 33 and a half. He died the death of a criminal. And he saved humanity from their sins. What we believe is not the birth of Jesus alone. If you believe only the birth of Jesus, you cannot be saved. The birth of Jesus doesn't save anybody. No, believing the birth of Jesus doesn't bring salvation. You have to believe his birth. You have to believe his death. You have to believe his burial. You have to believe his resurrection. Then you must believe his ascension. So when we say with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, we're not just saying we believe that he was born. No, he was born, he was beaten and battered, he was killed, he was buried, he was raised back to life, and today he's seated at the right hand of the Father as the author of eternal salvation. Does anybody understand what I'm saying here? So don't go around and just tell somebody we believe the same God. No, even sometimes some Christians believe that they serve the same God with some idol worshippers. They say God is one. His name is Eledumare. So both the idol worshippers and everybody, we serve the same God. You don't know the Bible. You need to sit down and study the word of God. The Bible says study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Many Christians have believed a lie almost all their lives. Why? Because they are not willing to study. They are not willing to pay attention. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here today? Are you sure you're getting what I'm saying now? So you need to hold on to this and let it sink in your heart. Look at your neighbor, say, the God of the Bible is a different God. He's the God of our Lord and Savior Jesus. The God of the Bible was born, carried by a woman called Mary. He was beaten, wounded, battered, and died. The death of a criminal for our sake. He was buried, and on the third day, he was raised to life again. Today, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, exalted in glory. That's the God of the Bible. Do you understand this right now? Does it make sense to you, church? Now look at the little children there. All the little children there. You must help them understand that Christianity has nothing, as it were. Christmas, rather, is not about Santa Claus. Christmas is not about the Christmas party in their school. Because while they do the Christmas party in their school, their proprietors and proprietresses play worldly and secular music for them. They play all manner of rubbish. So our children think that Christmas is just about partying and eating rice and just jumping up and down. They don't know the Savior. We need to introduce them to the Savior. And that's why some people during Christmas period, they fail to realize that it's supposed to be a period of purity. That's when they do the worst things. You know, during December and February, if you count 9 months, how many of you are born this period? September children and November, September, November. Not all of them. Those of us born in January, we start the year with Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. So get this right now. Get this right now. When people tell you that Christmas is a pagan, has a pagan origin, and therefore Christians are not supposed to celebrate it, show them Romans chapter 14 verse 5. Very fast, you show them. Roman NLT, look for NLT. Romans 14 verse 5. NLT. That's what you show them. Say, Christian, there's nothing like Christmas. The Christmas is not in the Bible. It doesn't have to be. Is there anywhere your birthday is in any Bible? In any book? But you celebrate it. In the same way, some think of one day as more holy than another day, while others think of every day as alike. You should each be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable. He was not born on the 25th. Don't tell me that. I cannot follow you to celebrate Christmas. You should believe that whichever day you choose is acceptable. I told you I'm going to show you everything. Glory to God. So if I choose 25th, because the early church fathers have chosen 25th, and they chose 25th for whatever reason, they have accepted that it's 25th, we don't care. All we know is that Jesus is celebrated that day. Whoever will not celebrate, no problem. Do you know that this Christmas celebration, we must not allow the devil kill it? Because if he kills it, it's only the time in the world where we talk so much about Jesus, 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 Jesus. If the devil succeeds to silence us, you'll be surprised that the generation will be born and they will never know that anybody exists whose name is called Jesus. So we must not allow that. Jesus was not born on the 25th of December. In case your neighbors ask you, don't say he was born 25th of December. That's wrong. He was not born on the 25th of December, but we chose 25th of December to celebrate Jesus. Your birthday can be 2nd of January, and you choose that the day convenient for you is 5th. True or false? and you celebrate, does it change anything about the fact that you're born? The most important thing, that he was born. And does he deserve to be celebrated? Yes. Have we chosen a day? Yes. Which day did we choose? 25th of December. Simple. Clap for yourself. Yes. So Christmas is not just about the fun. It's not just about going around, hanging out with friends, getting drinks and getting excited. No. Christmas is about Christ, generosity to the poor, and a time of worship. You want to show generosity, check for people around who don't have anything. You want to be a blessing to them. You want to go the extra mile and stretch your hand and be a blessing to somebody. Because Jesus Christ came and the gospel came to the poor. It's good news to the poor. So one of the ways we show people around us that it is good news is by stretching our hands to see how we can extend a hand of fellowship. We want to reach out to maybe orphans or needy people or those who we know that don't have anything to help themselves. Are we here together? These are the things we do Christmas. Christmas is not a time to just go about, catch fun alone, and just play. No, when you're getting excited, you're going to amusement park, or you're going to, you know, a fast food, a restaurant, you know, a cinema or something, just remember that your Christmas will be complete if you worship God that season and you're able to stretch your hands to help one or two people that season. Are we here together? That's what Christmas is about. And from today, cancel Santa Claus from the heart of our children. Saint Nicholas was a philanthropist and he did his philanthropic work very well, very good. But don't let the children believe that it's a man that will come, you know, all of a sudden he will appear somewhere and he'll be sharing gifts to children and all that. No, tell them that the gift that we have in Christmas is Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That the gift we have in Christmas is what? Jesus. And you also adults, a lot of adults are also mistaking the same thing. I grew up in the church, but I never knew so much about Christmas also. Because all I usually believe about Christmas, when they take us, a guy on cap like this, and white, and bears, will give us gifts, and we'll be, no, we should tell them that Jesus is the gift that has been given. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? So it's not about the balloons, it's not about the whatever it is, it is about Jesus, God's gift of salvation given to humanity. If you do this, you'll be a faithful steward of the kingdom and you would have been passing the message rightly. The Lord bless our hearts tonight, strengthen us, and help us understand the revelation of him more and more in the name of Jesus. Can you rise on your feet tonight? Can you just rise on your feet tonight?
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of this life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.